after the 11 o'clock hour. Good Monday morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live today from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Oh, it was an interesting weekend, man. It really was. We had the NBA off, but the All-Star weekend going on. And we had the start to the XFL. Some crazy games by the Colorado Avalanche. They've won three in a row. So, it was certainly entertaining. This first weekend without NFL football certainly kept us engaged. My XFL team lost. My Seattle Sea Dragons. However, Angels Battlehawks found a way.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
That was the wrong clip there, but caw-caw. That was a little Rex Ryan preview for you.
You know what? From now on, we just need Rex Ryan clips for everything we do. That was good. That's for later today, by the way. Rex Ryan, that could be a possibility, man. That sounded like it's going to happen. Rex Ryan is the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. Very much feels like that's going to come down to it. So we'll see. We'll talk more about that throughout the day today. But yeah, why was The Rock in shoulder pads when he came out in the very first game? And
was he wearing shoulder pads? It looked like he was just wearing a jersey.
Maybe he's just jacked. I thought he was in shoulder pads.
Yeah, he came out wearing a little 54 jersey, because their whole thing is every one of these guys is the 54th man on the roster, meaning that they got cut and everyone's fighting for a chance to get back. So that was kind of cool to see him. Mm-hmm. He was at every single game.
How did he, I guess he's The Rock. So.
Well, there was a game in Arlington, and then there was one in San Antonio, and then D.C. So he was just flying around all over the place.
Well, what'd you think? Were you entertained?
I was fairly entertained. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Like, yeah.
The immersion of it, you get to hear the OCs and the DCs calling the plays. You hear the quarterbacks talking. The coaches are mic'd up. The refs are mic'd up. Their review system is very interesting in that it's just one guy in the booth and he has a monitor with 20 different views, and it's, hey, Mike, we're going to stop the play here. Look at it. Oh, I got a good look. All right, it's a catch.
So he's describing it like we're hearing what he's going through, which is kind of cool. I'm still unsure of the whole 2-point, 3-point, 1-point conversion thing. That's a lot for my brain to take in, Angel.
But it's awesome. Because you can be down 15-3 with a minute 30 left and somehow still win the game.
Which is what happened, right? And then I saw, what was the other? There was another game. The very first game. Was that the Renegades?
Yes.
They were up, I think. Vipers were up. Renegades come back. Then the Vipers go down, score, chance to go for two. They don't get it, but they get to try for their 4th and 15 or whatever the hell it is, and they didn't get that. But offensive line play is not great. But other than that, it's not bad.
It's entertaining for sure.
Yeah. I don't know how invested I'll be as we progress through now that we've got the back half of the NBA season starting up later this week. You've got March Madness starting to, we're getting into the final stretch here for all these teams. And then you get into the district, conference championships, all that. So, Thursday will probably be fun. Do the Nuggets play on Wednesday?
They play Thursday at 5.
Ooh, yeah, maybe.
Then Sea Dragons and Battlehawks at 7.
Because I tell you, I'm now to this point where Nuggets games to me, Angel, are always must-see for me. But now that I've got this thing going about Nikola Jokic and people are fighting me on it and Skip Bayless of the world's coming out with their ridiculous takes about him, I'm like, this is must-see like never before. I want to see the Joker just annihilate teams. These last 23 games, set up, let's just get into the freaking playoffs and let's go. Because, Angel, the All-Star weekend brought all the doubters back out. And if you're using the All-Star game and the way people are picking players as any kind of way to, I don't know, find your league MVP, what are you doing talking sports? Did you see Skip Bayless's ridiculous take? I retweeted it. I shouldn't have, because this is what he does. But he tweeted out that basically, here it is. I'm told every day on his show that that Jokic is the best player on the planet, yet he was LeBron's last pick, leaving Markkanen for Giannis. Let's see. The man I keep saying should be MVP, Embiid, was chosen first by LeBron, Joker last by LeBron. Sums it up. First off, I think we all know, if you actually watch basketball, Nikola Jokic is the furthest thing from an all-star player. Like, he's an all-star, but the actual game, that's not his game. That is Harlem Globetrotter stuff. Luka didn't want any part of it either, man. I mean, he had 4 points. What did he have, 4 or 5 points in that game? Guys that just play basketball kind of the right way all the time aren't going to excel in those games. So, I mean, there was one point, the defense, the rest of the players just went off to the side and watched a little one-on-one. Was it Harden and Tatum? And just watched a one-on-one battle between them. Like, it wasn't a game. LeBron could have gone up to block a shot of or a dunk of Jason Tatum's, and he just let him go. There is no defense there. Michael Malone was talking about this game. He, of course, coached the game. Here's what he had to say about the last night's All-Star game. So, I mean, again, don't listen to Skip Bayless or think about LeBron's pick. Here's one of the best coaches in the league right now and what he thought of last night's All-Star game.
Honor to be a part of a great weekend, great players, but that is the worst basketball game ever played.
How do you fix it?
I don't know if you can fix it. I mean, I give Joel Embiid, Kyrie Irving, those guys were like competing. Joel was imploring some of the guys to play harder, to try to get some defense in, but no one got hurt. They put on a show for the fans, but that is a tough game to sit through, I'm not going to lie.
It's terrible. And how do you fix it? The fact is, even Malone's like, you can't fix this game. They don't want to get hurt. And I get that. But then why? What are we doing here? You know, the whole thing was just, I thought it was the All-Star games to have them. I ask, okay, is it hurting you? Are you making money? Are you getting eyeballs to watch your game? And are you hurting and are you doing a good thing for the league? Like, was the flag football thing good for the league? Probably not. Was it bad for the league? Probably not. I don't think. Maybe. A little embarrassing. I don't know. It could be. I thought the All-Star game and the way they did it last night was embarrassing. Was bad for the NBA.
Yeah, I didn't watch anything for the All-Star weekend. I didn't have a lot of interest in it, mostly because the Nuggets kind of got just wiped off and they don't exist, according to the NBA.
Correct. Even though their coach is coaching one of the teams and soon-to-be 3-time MVP is on the team.
Oh, but some of the clips I was seeing on social media, it looked extremely awkward. It didn't feel like they ran through a rehearsal of it at all. It was just we're going to do the draft. Yes. LeBron, you pick a guy, and Giannis, you pick a guy. And then they're like, okay, I pick John Morant. Oh, you can't pick him. He's a start. Like,
you can't pick him.
Do we know the rules of this?
And why was Joker last? That didn't make sense. And Joker comes up.
He's a starter, but he gets picked last.
I don't understand.
Doesn't make any sense.
Don't understand it. And you know, everyone's talking about how he just came up to LeBron, like, basically pick me. He thought he was last. He didn't know that there was another player behind him. So he's like, I'm just take me already.
Probably like, I'm tired of this. I just want to leave.
It's stupid.
This is dumb.
And you embarrass the. I don't think he's embarrassed, but the fan base is like, dude, that's the 2-time, soon-to-be 3-time MVP here. LeBron couldn't even get his name right, of course, Jokic. And you're talking about Skip Bayless is actually trying to equate who LeBron picks to who the best player in the league is.
When did the All-Star game become the qualifier for MVP?
And if you're looking at it that way, then you are. You shouldn't be given a license to talk about sports.
Like, Joel Embiid should be able to go off in an All-Star game when nobody's playing defense.
Yeah, and I mean, Joker didn't even jump for a rebound and gets it.
No, he stayed in the paint the whole game because that's what he does. He's like,
they're
not setting up offenses. We're not setting up passing lanes. It's just, oh, you're going to run at the basket. I'm going to throw it up. Oh, big dunk. Woo.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I know Tanner was talking all about the dunk contest too. Mac McClung.
Who?
Don't know. He's not even on a team. Like, he signed a 2-day or whatever it is, a 10-day contract. I mean, he jumped over two dudes, kind of, and bounced it off of the backboard and dunked it. That was kind of cool. Angel, I've seen it, man. I know I haven't seen it quite like that, but you've seen one guy jump over stuff and dunk it. I get it. You're going to keep doing it if you make money and you get ratings on it and you can sell advertising on it and all that stuff. I see why you keep doing it, but last night to me felt like more of a negative for the NBA. Like, it's just goofy the way we're picking. Don't pick players. It's the West versus the East. We don't need to be, like, I think that's ridiculous. It's like,
well, it's a
elementary school.
Concept.
Yes, and it's elementary school garbage. Because Joker's the best player in the NBA, and he gets picked second to last? That doesn't make any sense. It's because, you're right, it's a popularity contest. Joker doesn't do social media. He doesn't go out and hang out with a lot of these guys. He doesn't do that stuff. So he's never going to be in the popular club.
And I get the casual take where it's, oh, I've heard all about this Nikola Jokic guy, two-time MVP, and this is what he does. He's not an MVP, and that hurts because us fans, we watch him every single night, and we know what he does, and we appreciate the greatness that is Nikola Jokic, but we also understand he is a unique basketball player.
Yeah.
He doesn't play the game the way you think he should.
He doesn't fit the All-Star game. He just doesn't. There's a few players that we can say in history that don't really make sense for that game, but guys that are dunking a lot, and they're really good ball handlers and all of that, yeah, you're probably going to put on some kind of a show. That's not Nikola Jokic's game. And for national sports guys to have such a lazy take as to, well, then why didn't he perform in the All-Star game? Because they're not setting up offenses. I said this 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago, I don't know. One-on-one, Joel Embiid versus Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid's probably winning that game. He's probably winning one-on-one. LeBron probably winning one-on-one against the Joker. But as far as basketball, the sport of basketball is five-on-five. And so in that context, in that setup, Nikola Jokic is better. He's better at utilizing his players. He's just better. He's smarter when it comes to the game.
If he is not, to some people, an obvious MVP candidate, explain the stats. The stats do not lie when it comes to Nikola Jokic. He is historically one of the best players in the NBA.
Did you see Donovan Mitchell? He's like, have you guys seen his numbers? Like, have you seen what Joker's doing?
He's Mr. Triple-Double.
Yeah. I mean, even LeBron called him that.
Mr. Jokic.
They tried to make the NBA All-Star game all things LeBron. And like, why is LeBron James a captain? Shouldn't the captains...
He didn't even play. Or he did play, then he hurt his finger.
He did, and Malone wanted him to play a little more defense, and then he hurt his finger, and he's like, I can't play defense.
Now he's going to be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, now he said that these 23 games are the most important in his career. I don't make it a habit of missing the playoffs.
It's not in my DNA.
It's not my DNA. Well, get ready, because it's going to be in your DNA. You're not going to make the playoffs. You might get in the play-in, and who knows, pull off the upset there, and then go up against the Nuggets in the first round, but... There's no way they're doing much of anything beyond that. I don't know. You're right, though. The XFL, at least you're seeing dudes that are fighting for jobs. And was it the best stuff over the weekend that we witnessed? The best stuff was probably, like, the Avs. Like, the Avs looked really good. They get the overtime win, comeback win against Edmonton. So, I mean, that was big. And listen, I'm not even the diehard hockey guy, but NBA All-Star Weekend is just kind of... And the XFL was cool to have it on in the background and stuff. It was cool.
And golf was pretty decent this weekend.
How'd that do ratings-wise? I think it did pretty well.
I think it did, too.
Mainly because Tiger Woods.
Especially that Sunday morning before the All-Star Weekend really started going and the XFL kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say there was a pretty good viewership for golf this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online, fmsbank.com/KFKA. All right, the good, yeah, let's, I put a question mark here, Angel. The XFL?
Yes.
Yeah?
Very good.
Yeah?
Good first week.
Will it have staying power? You're all in?
All in.
Okay, I don't know if I'm all in. I mean... I knew it was on, and I was like, I'm gonna tune in, check it out. And it was football. You know, it was the offensive line play wasn't great, but We'll see. It's better than I thought, though. Because this, I just figured we'd have this first weekend, and there was a lot of weird little things that happened. You know, the people, the fans throwing,
DC fans throwing lemons
because they ran, they took their beer cups away or whatever.
Oh, and then they got a pick six, and they panned over to the fans, and there's just beer flying all over the place. They were going nuts last night.
So, like, yeah, you're gonna have to come up with things that are kind of unique to the XFL. That's just, I mean, hearing coaches talk through their headsets and being more involved in the review process, you're going to have to find things that really give you an edge. And maybe they did, and we'll see. The bad for me, the UNC Bears, they've dropped the last two after winning three in a row. I mean, again, they've got the conference tournament in front of them. They're still going to have to win, but now where are they sitting, Angel? I mean, it's not looking like they're going to get that first round bye. In fact, what do they have? Two games remaining, Northern Arizona and Idaho State, both home games. I don't see I guess there's still kind of a chance that they could get into the top five. They'd have to win these next two, and then they'd need Sacramento State, Portland State, and Idaho State to lose out, essentially. So it's looking like it's going to be the tough road for the Bears, but maybe they can do it.
I don't think they'd want it any other way.
They're going to be underdogs coming in, which at the beginning of the season, they were picked to finish second. So they have the capability of doing this. I believed Jerry when he said they were going to beat Eastern Washington. We're going to have Jerry Schimmel on the show in just a moment. The ugly for me, yeah, let's go with the NBA All-Star game, the actual game. Just, I thought it was, can it be counterproductive? That's when you have to start analyzing it. And I thought last night was counterproductive. For the NBA.
I just think those guys would rather just take a week off.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking the Nuggets play Thursday, so now Joker's got what? He's got today, tomorrow, Wednesday, maybe not even Wednesday, so he's got today and tomorrow to go do something. Does he go home for 2 days? Does he go on vacation for 2 days?
Not to Serbia.
Talk about the Pro Bowl being a waste. Well, at least the season's over for those guys. You know, they don't have to go right back at it. It was a rough go for the NBA. 23 minutes after the hour. Jerry Schimmel coming up at the bottom of the hour. We also have our poll question of the day. Over under wins for the Rockies this year. 65.5 is what DraftKings has it sitting at. We going over that or are we going under that, Angel? Go vote at theholeshow.com. What do you think?
Is that 500?
Mm-mm. No. You need to be like in the 80s, right?
Yeah. I'm going to say no.
62% saying under. Tanner says way over. I don't know, man. 24 minutes after the hour. Go vote on that one at theholeshow.com. It's a busy Monday. We got a lot to get to and already a short time to do it. We'll be right back.
Sean Payton, it is. How are we feeling, Broncos country? Hear team talk and coverage every day in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Got another big event coming up with Battleground Pro Wrestling on March 4th. That's a Saturday at the Greeley Rec Center. Doors are going to open up at 5:30. The show starts at 6. You can meet the wrestlers before the show, too, around 4:30 and 5:30. This is going to be a big one. We're excited about this. Gino told you so, Rivera, our guy. Well, I thought he was our guy, but apparently he turned on us, and now that's Brian and Gary's guy.
Brian and Gary?
Brian Gary. Who's the other guy on there?
I don't know, some farmer dude.
And then my guy? I got to do some research on him. I'm learning more about him as we go here.
What's his name?
His name is Tamilian Vinish.
Whoa.
Already sounds like a guy I'm excited about. I think he's going to just pile drive I think he's going to pile drive Geno, man. I think he's going to take him down. So we got that coming up. I'm going to interview him at some point. They're going to interview Geno. Geno became a heel to this show, man. He turned his back on us. Yeah. I thought we had a great relationship.
Get in line.
Yeah. Yeah, get in line, right?
Plenty of whole show haters out there.
Plenty of whole show. Apparently the Nikola Jokic stuff has people fired up.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know. Yeah, dude, I've been right on Joker every step of the way. And people came at me 4 years ago when I said he's going to be the best Nugget of all time. He's already done that. He just turned 28. He's already the best Nugget of all time.
Yep.
I said he'd win some MVPs, he'd be the best big man, all this stuff. Well, here we are. So now I just got to win the titles. Got to start winning the titles. Starts now. Starts this year. Eastside Chris texting in. Now it's time to start looking at the playoff matchups. Who would you like to see the Nuggets take on in that first spot? Well, again, the way it should, like it, right now, if it was a normal, like 3 years ago playoffs, it would be the Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first round. But because we have to see the play-in games go on, the Thunder will play the Pelicans, the Warriors will play the Timberwolves, I believe. And then the lower seeds got to win two. 9 and 10, which would be the Warriors and the Thunder, got to win two to get in. So if the Warriors lose to the Pelicans or the Timberwolves, then they would get another shot. But if the Timberwolves win, they're in, and the Pelicans win, they're in. OKC and Golden State would have to win too. Who do I like as far as a matchup there potentially where it's going to end up? We've talked about it, Angel. I don't want to see Golden State get into that eighth spot. Just don't. Not worried about, you know, the Lakers. Not worried about the Trailblazers this season. Not really worried about the Jazz. The Golden State Warriors. And you're not wrong to say the Pelicans are a team to worry about. I wouldn't want to see that matchup either. You don't want to see a Lakers team get hot and a Warriors team get hot, because those are the darlings of the NBA. Those teams, they're going to have a lot of juice and a lot of promotion, a lot of they're going to be amped up to try to pull off the upset over the Nuggets. So I don't want to see that matchup. Minnesota? The Mavericks could fall too at some point. I don't mind that matchup at all. When you look at Minnesota, you know, it's Anthony Edwards. You got decent players, big man Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns. That matchup might prove to be somewhat difficult for the Joker, but, you know, can you get the rest of your teammates involved? And they got Mike Conley now. They got Jaden McDaniels. You just kind of worry about that matchup with Joker specifically. That one's interesting to me. That would be a series where you'd need Jamal Murray and MPJ to go off. You know, they'd really need to be, because they're going to try to do their best to slow down the Joker. 33 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk some UNC Bears and some Rockies baseball coming up next with Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Rockies, the voice of the UNC Bears. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios here. And joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline is the voice of the UNC Bears and one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. Jerry, it's getting ready to be a crazy schedule for you coming up for the next couple of weeks, man.
Yeah. Hey, Brady, good to be on with you again. You know what? That time of year where the two sports for me come together with basketball, baseball. But you know what? I love it. I absolutely love it. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. So I do have a conflict coming up, which I'm sure we'll talk about when you and Tanner are filling in on Saturday. But otherwise, I'll be able to cover both the Rockies and the Bears down the stretch here.
Yeah, well, and down the stretch, I mean, with this, let's go UNC first, Jerry. Lost to Eastern Washington. Tried to make that thing interesting in the second half. Lost two in a row now after winning three in a row. all but kind of keeps them out. And I'm looking at the standings now, Jerry. It seems like that getting into that top five, top six spot to get a first round bye, not looking like that's going to happen.
Doesn't look like it. You know, they got to win their last two games to get some help from some other teams, but that's probably a little unlikely right now. And I've said this before, I've said this on Tanner's show, and I think I've said it to you as well, Brady, but it's still a team. You know, you still got to win, you know, three, four games, and then it's a team that's dangerous. I wouldn't want to play the Bears in that first round of the tournament because they're going to upset somebody. I really believe that. And I thought they were going to win on Saturday. They actually outplayed Eastern Washington, I thought, big time in the second half. Outscored them by, I think, 8 or 9 points in the second half. So, and they should have won that game at Idaho. So they really should have won five in a row now. But it's still a dangerous team, and they're still playing good basketball. And I think we're all looking forward to the tournament no matter what seed they might be in.
Yeah, Jerry, that Idaho game was tough because it just felt like they had control for the most part of that game. Idaho would make a run, but then the Bears would fire right back. But when it came down to the end of it, the Bears really just kind of ran out of gas. They didn't have enough to fire back.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty accurate. And, you know, there's some other factors, too. In the second half of that game, Idaho, which is an average free throw shooting team, I think it was 75%, hit 18 of 19 free throws in the second half.
Wow.
They were one of two in the first half at 18 per night. You know, they missed a couple free throws, a couple front ends at one and one, and the Bears win that by 6-7 points. I mean, it was fluky that way. There was a point late in the game, I think, I don't know, two minutes left maybe, where Theo Hughes missed a layup on an incredible pass by Matt Johnson. And I thought, oh, my gosh, there was an opportunity. I think it would have taken the lead back or given them a bigger lead or something. I thought, oh, no, they're shooting themselves in the foot a little bit down the stretch here. But you're right, they did run out of gas. It expended a lot of energy to stay in that ball game. And should have won that. They were up by 10 with 6 minutes to go. Like, that's one to look back on and say, that's probably one this year we really should have gotten and we didn't.
And you had a guy, you talk about the free throws. You got a guy in Devontae Moffitt, 35 points, but 9 of 9 from the free throw line. So it's tough to win. Jerry, so what does this team have to do to make this? I guess it would be. It would be a historic run if they can go all the way through the Big Sky Conference tournament and win this thing. We know Dalen Kuntz is going to have a good game. We know Matt Johnson, for the most part, is probably going to have a good game. Dalton Connect has been putting together great numbers. What's it going to take outside of those three guys for the Bears to make a run?
It's going to have to be someone else besides those three, because you can count on those guys, you're right, to step up. And that might be Riley Abercrombie, who's had a couple of great games shooting the three. It might be somebody coming off the bench like Caleb Shaw with some big baskets for you. They're just not getting that off the bench. I mean, they're fairly deep. They go to nine players, but they aren't productive coming off the bench. And I think that's what's got to happen. You can't play those big three 40 minutes every game or you're going to get in trouble, especially in a tournament when you play every single day. So they're going to have to get some help off the bench. You're going to have to get those guys, the starters, rested during a game and get some contribution offensively. They play okay. Connor Creech and some others come in, and, you know, Brock Wisney coming off the bench, they play okay defensively. Brock gets into foul trouble. We know that, but a lot of freshmen do. Oh, they're fine defensively. They just get no production off that bench offensively.
Yeah, and that's, you're right. That's going to be where we're really looking at who can step up outside of those guys. Two games left in the regular season, Jerry. You're with the spring training crossover because what the Rockies on Saturday, is that right? Their first spring their first game of spring training.
Yep, exactly. Playing exactly the same time UNC's playing on Saturday.
So I get Tanner stepping in, and I decided to throw my hat in the ring and sit next to him and call that Northern Arizona game. So that should be interesting. We'll be missing you, man, but we'll try to do our best here coming up this weekend.
You know what? I'm excited about the upgrade. We can upgrade in talent for that game. So let's go, Brady.
Who's
play-by-play and whose color? Are you switching off?
Tanner's play-by-play. I don't know. I think I've done play-by-play for like a quarter of a high school game like 30 million years ago. So I'm going to let him do it, and I'll do the easy part. How about that?
You guys are going to sound great. I won't be able to listen live, but hopefully I can – hear some highlights from Micah later on.
I'm sure Micah will provide some highlights, maybe the lowlights of our call anyway. But hopefully the Bears win and people aren't really worried too much about nitpicking us on the broadcast. Jerry Schimmel joining us, voice of the Bears, voice of the Rockies. Rockies getting rolling, man. We got spring training. So, Jerry, my poll question today, I looked up on DraftKings just to see what the over-under win total is going to be for the Rockies. We're sitting at 65.5. Where are you sitting with this team? And let's talk about this Rockies team for a bit.
Yeah, right. I didn't know it was going to be that low. I was thinking 68 or 69. I'm glad you primed me on that one. Boy, I tell you what, you never know with this team. And I always say this, you go into a baseball season, Brady, you know this, same way in every sport. There are teams that you think are going to be really good and they disappoint. There are teams you think aren't going to be any good and they seem to grab lightning in a bottle. And just got a hunch it's the Rockies. I mean, they've had such bad luck the last several years that the baseball gods got to be smiling at some point. So if I'm a betting man, and I'm not, but I would certainly pick over 65 games. I just think they're better than that. I don't know if they're going to be what Dick Monfort hopes they can be, and that's a 500 team, but I think they have a chance to flirt with that. And I just don't see them winning 65. I see them winning a lot more than that. So things have to come together, but they're pieces. The starting rotation has some good pieces to it. There are some reliable guys. There's a productive second baseman. There's a very productive first baseman. Hopefully Charlie Blackman has something left. You got an exciting young shortstop. So I think that the pieces are there. They certainly have to fall the right way for this team to be competitive.
Yeah, who do you think? I mean, we talked a little bit, Jerry, I think last week or the week before about Chris Bryant, and obviously we're watching his health. That's the big one with him. But, you know, you kind of told us, hey, seems like he's good to go right now. We'll see. Things can change there. But when you look at that roster, who's somebody there that you look at and say, man, we need to see something from this guy? Is it like a Ryan McMahon kind of guy? Brendan Rodgers, who started off a little rough and Tanner wrote him off and then that was the kiss of death and Brendan Rodgers was amazing. So who do you look at on that roster and say, man, this guy I really want to see step up and kind of rebound from last year?
Yeah, I think that would be Ryan McMahon for me, and you sort of planted that seed, but I think that really probably is the guy. They could use a little more production from a catching standpoint. They didn't get much offense that way, but I think Ryan's going to be the key. You know, he had a great season 2 years ago. He's an extremely talented left-handed hitter with a quick bat, with power, great third baseman who had some crazy errors last year. They're just so unlike him. So I look for a big bounce back for him. I think Chris Bryant, if he's healthy, remains that way, which it looks like he is, and hopefully we knock on wood that he continues, is going to be a force offensively. He's going to fit in Coors Field very well. I think the team was at 20-22 when he played last year, so he just provides so much in the middle of that lineup that it makes everybody else around him a little bit better offensively. But I think there is one guy I would point at to answer your question. It certainly would be Ryan McMahon.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way too, Jerry. How about the starting rotation, the pitching rotation here? When you look at, you know, Marquez and Freeland, I think a couple of years now we've been saying, okay, those two guys got to lead this thing. And you know, you're done with John Gray last year, and all these other guys coming in. You're piecing it together, but I think the one thing we've always come back to is it starts with those two pitchers.
It does. They have to be more consistent. And, you know, I thought there was a very good article written by Patrick Saunders yesterday about Kyle Freeland and that he had that great year in 2017, and he's struggling to find that again. I mean, he went 17-7. I think he was fourth in the National League in Cy Young voting, and he's never really matched that. So he's got to get more consistent. He's the first one to admit it. He said this in the article. It's quoted as saying, I've got to get more consistent. I can't have these ups and downs, these great pitching games, and then I get blown up in the first inning the next time out. And Airman Marquez the same way. And those guys, when they're on, we know how good they can be. And especially Marquez, it can be dominating. But they're just up and down, and they have been that way the last couple of years, especially Airman last year. So those two definitely have to lead the way, Brady, and I think to do that, they've just got to be more consistent.
Jerry, what are some of the things you look for when you get into spring training? Because it's a long preseason, essentially. But some of those things that you're looking at that you want to see from this team in games that matter but don't matter.
Yeah, there are a couple things. Number one, you're always keeping your eye on the young guys, you know, on the prospects. And if they're not playing in a game that you're broadcasting, you're able to go watch them play on a side field or take batting practice. So the prospects, probably the top 5 or 10 prospects, if they're available to be watched, I like to do that and just get a glimpse of those guys and see what the future might hold. I think everybody kind of looks at the veterans and makes sure they haven't gotten overweight during the offseason. You know, you take a mental image and they go, okay, well, that guy looks like he's in shape or he's picking up where he left off. I think with pitchers, especially young guys, you look for velocity early on. And if you see a decrease in velocity, then you have a little concern, I think, there. Otherwise, I think you just look for guys that are finding their groove pretty quickly in spring training. And that doesn't – it's not always easy, especially – and we'll keep our eye on Charlie Blackman. You know, what's Charlie's swing look like? Is he making great contact early in camp, or is it going to take a month to get his swing down? So you look at little things like that, and I think you also look at new guys that have come in, what their personality might look like, what kind of clubhouse guy they might be, and then you sort of assess things as a group after that.
Well, we'll be looking forward to your broadcast and your assessment as we follow along with this team. Jerry, you got a lot of opportunities to be terrible because you're broadcasting the Bears and the Rockies, but I know that's not in your DNA. So just don't do it, man. Don't be terrible.
Okay. I know what the rules are. Don't be terrible. So I'm going to say the same thing for you guys on Saturday, you and Shannon.
I'm already anticipating terribleness coming up, Jerry, very much so. So we'll see. But,
don't,
you know
don't
what?
Don't break the station rules, buddy. Don't do it.
Well, you know, I figured if we're terrible, then it's just going to make people really appreciate you even more when you come back next week. So that's kind of my thinking there.
Well, that's a good way to look at it, I guess. And
I
appreciate that.
Low expectations, and who knows? You never know what'll happen after that, man.
You know, I'm not hoping you guys are terrible, but if you are, it might make me feel a little bit better.
Jerry, my man, I appreciate you so much, and we'll be looking forward to those calls with the Rockies, of course, and then getting you back, you know, with the Bears coverage starting next week.
Sounds good, Brady. Thanks for having me on. Great to talk to you.
You too, my friend. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Rockies, the voice of the Nuggets. A little inside joke there. I think that was my motivational speech for Jerry when he started with us was, hey, just don't be terrible. 11:49 the time. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Rockies, Angel? Tanner's firing up your old bus, dude. Are you in on this? Are you getting in on that bus?
I'll have to see how they start because I jumped on the bus last year when they went 3-1 to start the season, beating the Dodgers. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was.
I think they have like 7 road games to start, so we'll see how they do.
Yeah, when I talk to Jerry, I kind of get excited because, listen, I'm kind of out of the Rockies until day one of the season. Spring training, it's a gigantic preseason. So I don't take anything from it. Even if, you know, young guys pop on, they might be looking great, but I'm not really getting into it until the start of the season. But when I listen to Jerry, I do get a little excited. Look at like Ryan McMahon. Can you step up? I mean, you signed a big contract a couple of seasons ago. Can you be that big time player? Can Brendan Rodgers do it all season? I'm telling you. He was terrible to start, and then Tanner's like, get rid of him, and then boom, he's amazing. Maybe Tanner should be against the Rockies. That would be the best key.
It tends to work for him.
But it all goes back to pitching, and can Marquez deliver? Can Kyle Freeland deliver? You know, it starts with those two guys. You know, bringing back your closer and Daniel Bard, who was... He was the bright spot. He was the most consistent bright spot of the season for the Rockies. Is that enough for this team? Over under 65.5 wins. Go vote at theholeshow.com. We'll talk more about that. More about the All-Star game and everything else that went with the weekend that was coming up a little bit later on the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Several teams, one goal, win it all. Your high school basketball playoffs on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Yeah, that's our poll question of the day. Rockies over or under 65 and a half wins on the season. Go vote at thewholeshow.com.
500 is 81 games. Found that out.
You got it, man. Yeah, you know, math is weird for all of us here. It's just one of those things that we should probably just stay away from it.
Well, like, I figured it out quickly once I knew the total number of games.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, Dick Monfort has him winning that. So, 81. There you go. That's all you need to know.
Let's just start 81-0 and then just lose the rest.
I mean, I might throw like 50 cents on the Rockies to win over 65.5. That's how I bet, Angel. It's like a mental thing. I just want to know I've got some skin in the game, but it could literally be like 10 cents. So it's a safe way to gamble. You just don't do much with it, but it's a safe way to gamble. So there's your advice of the day. We're talking a little bit about the All-Star Weekend, too. More, you know, Nikola Jokic snubs are back in full force. He was starting to, it seemed like he was starting to get some of the national respect. And then, you know, LeBron didn't pick him. Oh, man. Well, LeBron doesn't even know his name. And last I checked, LeBron's not even in the playoff picture right now. Why is he a captain? He broke the scoring record and then hasn't played in 9 years after that. Why is LeBron James the captain? The NBA is the only league that will reward mediocrity no matter what. So, like, bad quarterbacks in the NFL, if they're phasing out or whatever, like Joe Flacco, should he be considered a top player? He was good one point. Yeah, Brady, you just compared Joe Flacco to LeBron James. We'll get to the 12 o'clock hour coming up next with the lunch rush. Don't go anywhere.